Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, I'm doing my little intro, obviously.
Yeah, do it.
So, dear listener, Paul Tonkinson is indisposed. He's got a terrible cold, and I was desperate. I was thinking, what dear running old friend of mine will possibly meet me at this late notice for a run in London, North London, particularly as it's raining. And I give you Natalie Hines!
Hello, hello. It is absolutely hoofing it down. I'm not even regretting I said yes yet.
No, well, the thing is, I cycled here, and it's lovely weather for running.
Yes, but probably horrid for cycling.
Cycling, not so much. Not dissing the whole cycling experience. It's just...
It feels more dangerous, though, when
definitely
there's so much water and people drive so aggressively.
And people do, and they drive more aggressively in the rain.
I think that's right.
It's kind of crazy, but it's definitely true. Anyway, how are you? And thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, although I'm sorry that Paul is ill. I'm sad for this.
Yeah.
And I am well, I'm a little insane because I'm a couple of weeks out of recording the new series of my radio show.
Yes.
So I'm writing them, slash researching them.
Yep.
And because I'm not performing as much, felt like, although now sort of gradually acquired the date, as much as pre-COVID.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, I'll do like a warm-up or two.
Yep.
I'll preview it because I wanted to do back in series five, which is the last one we did with an audience.
Yep.
So
what was this? Series seven.
This is eight. We did two in my living room, actually we did series six in my cupboard.
Right.
And series seven
under a blanket as well.
Yeah.
You see, if you don't do recording, you don't know the crazy things that happened in lockdown. There was a lot of people covered in blankets.
It's true. And we were due to record it right at the very start of lockdown. And not unreasonably, the BBC's entire supply of microphones had gone to journalists, actual people who needed to report the news.
Yeah, right.
And so Series 6 was recorded on my phone.
Excellent.
And everyone was going, oh, you just need to do this. You just need to... It's like, dude, I live over train tracks. This is all we've got. This is literally the only bit of my flat that's quiet.
Yep.
So by Series 7, I had a microphone. I was allowed to walk up and down. But we were still locked down. So, yeah, this is the first one back. And I thought, back in Series 5...
That's Natalie Hines stands up for the classics, by the way.
Oh, yeah, on Radio 4, and also as a podcast. I thought, back in 5, I would do the Iliad, which is a 24-book epic poem.
The Iliad? Don't be silly, Ed.
Well, yes, you see, you say this. And perhaps you should have said it before, I thought. This will be fun and great. Because
so
it was incredibly
stupid joke might have actually...
It could have turned me,
advice.
Yeah. Could have turned me to sanity. And I did it and it was brilliant. Insofar as I had a lovely time rather than in terms of its quality.
Yeah.
That I'm not, you know,
well,
claiming
sure
anything
on.
But people asked then if I would do the other big Homeric poem, The Odyssey.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, give me a couple of series to recover, eh? And then of course I've had two series to recover. So I felt like I should do it this time.
Yep.
But yeah, distilling 24 books of poetry into a version I can remember and perform.
Yes.
In 27 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
And actually the Sorry, this is such a nerd story.
No, it's good.
But the thing that's most difficult about it is that it is made for broadcast and not, in fact, directly as a podcast, because it gives me a really limited time window.
Yeah, right.
So when I recorded the Iliad in 2019 in front of a live audience, I had to bring it in not shorter than 27 minutes 15 and not longer than 27:45,
which yeah, is it sounds a little bit like landing in an airplane in the store.
Yeah, and so this one will be, I'm sure, similarly difficult, except that I've practiced less often. So, you know, I've learned nothing.
My feeling is that you'll be just about ready to do it, and it will seem pretty... I went the wrong way then, didn't I?
That's right.
I'm
just blithely taking you on my regular
run. I don't know what this wonder white flower is, but with the ceanosis behind it and then that
it's
yellowy
gorgeous,
tree.
Isn't it?
It's all a bit tasty, isn't it? Get the picture. Sorry to
And
stop.
These trees here are beautiful at every season. They're pink blossom.
Oh, yeah, that horse
chestnut.
And then they're
incredible
with
when the leaves go. It's so beautiful.
I'll get a close-up of that.
No, do it.
Too diddy.
Let's get a picture of us in front of it.
Yeah, we should totally get that. Here we go. Spinning it. You can also see the necessary gear due to the weather. You look nice. This is a lot like
isn't
a condom.
Lovely? It's not like a
condom. Yeah, come on, it's a bit like a condom.
I've had sex with more men than you, and no, it isn't. sorry, everyone, to lower the tone from Homeric Greek to the number of condomed men I've seen in my life.
That's the magic. That's the magic of running commentary.
Yes,
you can
it
go
is.
From the Odyssey to condom in basically one move. That kind of was rather more fun than the great joke I was going to do, which is that your Odyssey program would be absolutely perfect and good to go, but then just when it was about to be in the can, you would open a bag of wins and you'd be knackered for 10
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I'll be pushed back all the way. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Impressive the way I could get all my Odyssey knowledge into 15 seconds on the
dot. No, I feel like if I pushed you, you would also have the original poke in the eye with a sharp stick, which is, of course, from book 9 of the Odyssey.
Yep.
See, I know a book!
Yay!
So... yeah, that's what I've been doing. Is
well, that's brilliant.
Trying
so you're
to distill
that
a massive
up.
Poem. And then there are three other shows which I have to also not forget about.
But it will be, obviously, you're in the absolute maelstrom of sorting it out, but it will be nice to do it in front of an audience again.
Oh, my
it?
God, I can't wait. I mean, I know that you felt the same way. But the first time I went on stage once in 2020, after March, and that was October. In a big socially distanced theatre.
Yep.
And I knew then I had obviously not been on stage for 6 months. I didn't know that it would be another 6 months before I would get on stage again. But I could just kind of feel it.
Yeah.
And just walking out on stage to applause, I burst into tears. I mean, it was just pathetic.
Yeah.
I'm normally so robust, you know. Well, not off camera, to be fair. But in front of an audience, I'm normally quite robust. Yeah. And it was just so emotional.
Yeah. It's one of those things, isn't it? You know, in theory and practice, you know how much you missed it and how important it is, but you still can't possibly know what that gear shift is going to feel like until you experience it.
Yeah, because so I think it's going to be a mosh, as the young people say.
Yeah, totes.
I need to make sure I'm doing the Odyssey at the second recording, so the first one will be Roman things.
Yep.
And the second will be Greek things. So hopefully I'll be a bit more emotionally in control by the time we do the most difficult one.
Yeah, and luckily the stories themselves are quite dry. There's no kind of passion in the classics themselves. It's all pretty spreadsheet stuff, isn't it?
I know. I'm trying to work out for the first recording how to do the story of the loss of Pompeii without making everyone cry. It's like, I know this show doesn't have to be funny, it doesn't go out in a comedy slot, but I will feel a bit bad if I just, but everyone, I mean, you know, it is a disaster movie.
Yeah.
So it is really sad.
And on the other hand, it's an interesting challenge as a writer to tell it funny, or at least a bit funny, isn't it?
I'm going to give it a go, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's really hard looking at the death toll. Sorry, this is bleak just for now.
No, I understand.
But I actually do want your opinion before I write the damn thing. The number of people who died at Pompeii is nowhere near as many proportionately as you might think.
Right.
Because obviously there are warnings, earthquakes mainly.
Yeah.
So people, lots of people, a majority of Pompeians had escaped.
Yeah.
But it is still about 2,000 people, probably.
Yeah.
They found about 1,100 places where bodies would have been.
Yeah.
Because obviously the organic material doesn't survive.
Yeah.
In the same way that the hardened lava and things survive.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, this really is very gloomy, so please feel free to not listen or edit this out.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking, I wonder what it's like to lose 2,000 people like that in a day.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I realised that happened to us in January last year.
Yeah.
We lost 1,800 people in a day.
Yeah.
And I thought, no wonder it felt like the world was ending.
Yeah.
Because although we didn't have the sort of huge volcano in the sky, spewing fire everywhere and skies going black, it felt so frightening because it was frightening.
Yeah, and in fact, it's almost not more frightening, but harder to get a hold of.
Yes.
Because it didn't have that kind of natural iconography, you know.
Yeah.
When you said that, I thought immediately of 9/11.
Right.
Which, of course,
had the disaster movie horror.
Yeah, I mean, in the worst way, it was, you know, sort of deliberately so.
It was a deliberately cinematic attack.
That's right. And
it was
intended
for spectacle. It was intended
And that's thousands of people in one day. And it's such a, you know, it's a huge and terrible thing. But I think me and Paul talked about this, like in lockdown, that was the tough thing about the pandemic, was getting a hold on it.
Yeah.
We got no shape for the thing. We're always looking for maps and plans and narratives. And here was something so sinister, or something so insidious, you know?
Yeah.
But also with the power, as you say, to be just as devastating in an instant. It's really raining hard.
It's absolutely chucking it down. Even the widgeon is like, yeah, don't be stupid. It's just gone underwater. I'm mad. I can't even watch this.
All the fowl are going, wait a minute, it's supposed to be less wet up here.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming out. I do think this is the spot for rain like this. I remember when I was first getting into running and I picked up new headphones from John Lewis on a long training run, and I thought I'd run home, and I got to exactly here and the weather was exactly like this.
Oh.
And I was thinking, oh my goodness, but you know, yeah, kind of loving it. We're going to carry on loving it because it's our only option, really.
Yeah, I mean, this is the furthest point of the park from my house now.
Right,
so I have no alternative. I can either walk home or I can run home. Yeah, and running is quicker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can tell I've said that to myself many times before now.
Absolutely. No, I had that actually. Oh my God, I had a good look at that half pigeon.
Oh God.
I had a similar experience at this latest at the Brighton Marathon. It's like, well, I feel terrible, but the best way to get to the end of this is going to be to run there.
Yeah.
And that's a shame in a way.
Yes, because it would be preferable to be able to just lie down here and die. But unfortunately,
it's not an option.
Yeah, you've got children. They expect you home.
Yeah. Ah. Because, yeah, it looked like it was going to clear up. That was wrong. Didn't clear up.
No, it didn't clear up. I always think this, though. Anyone who is related to me will tell you this. I 100% believe that it's just passing.
Yep.
And I won't need an umbrella. It'll all be fine.
Yeah.
Just give it 10 minutes. Might as well go now. We'll dry as soon as it stops. And then, yeah, this is what happens.
And then when you do give up, that's when it stops.
Yeah.
It's like giving up on a long walk in the Lake District and then you get in the pub at lunchtime and see the sun over the hills in the afternoon and feel, if not guilty, then equivocal.
Yeah. Yes.
So, that's going to be great. And when will that series be out?
That series will be out from the middle of August, I think, or the 23rd, maybe, of August.
Yeah.
We've just had to change the dates and bring it forward. So, but I'm going to preview it, or at least try and preview the Odyssey on Sunday. What day is it now? When's it? So I'm 4 days away.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why it's so much in my head.
Yeah.
Is that though we don't record for another couple of weeks, it's like it's the next thing. You know how that goes.
See, you're the person, if anyone, to talk about this. If you know the Odyssey from, like, I don't know, primary school and children's books.
Yes.
When you sit down to actually read a translation of it, I found, I never realised it was going to be about Telemachus to such a great extent.
I mean, the first whole four books are about him. Odysseus doesn't appear until well over 100 lines into book 5.
Yeah.
Point in the second, it's always thought of as the great journey narrative.
Yeah.
Although, of course, specifically, it means a journey home.
Yeah.
An odyssey isn't an outbound journey, it's your journey back.
Yeah, right.
But that's of the important. Entire 24 books of the Odyssey, the journeying bit is four books.
Yeah.
9, 10, 11, 12. Odysseus spends 7 years of the 10 years it takes him to get back from Troy. He spends 7 years shacked up with a nymph called Calypso.
Yep.
He spends another year shacked up with a sorceress called Circe. So of his 10-year odyssey, fully 8 of them are spent horizontal. and incredibly, he gets back to Ithaca, the place he's trying to get home to, in book 13 of 24.
Yeah.
So nearly half the poem. It's like, dude, you're back. But I'm going to find a way of making that fun and cool, I hope.
Yeah, yeah. No, I tried to in the musical I wrote, which was called Circe the Saucy Sorceress, but that never that never played.
We're all disappointed.
Yeah. The other thing, last crass Homer ref, I just thinking about it made me think of, you remember the film Troy?
I do, yes.
Remember Sean Bean was...
Odysseus. Yeah.
And one of his men was John Bean in a perm, by the way, with a kind of a bus desk, curly perm. And one of his guys was fashioning a little horse from wood.
That's right.
And Sean Bean
he's
said...
He's whittling. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah.
That's great. I really enjoyed that a lot. I think the people around me at the cinema couldn't quite understand. I really didn't need to see the rest of the film after Sean Bean had said, oh, that's good. It's great.
You don't. Job done.
So,
at that point.
Talking of the journey home.
Yes.
I was thinking on the way up to meet you about that enjoying cycling less than running and then kind of apologising in my head to it. It's eased off.
A little.
In my head to the cyclists of the world who love it.
Yes.
I just thought it isn't about the activity, it is about me. You know, until I got into running, I never enjoyed the journey. And I've spent my whole life travelling.
Yes.
But it's always got to get somewhere to do the thing, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
And running and music originally, and then society, with a small s, enabled me to be here now, you know, to be in this moment. And I didn't have that in the first half of my life. So, and they say nirvana is the journey.
Right.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because often the journey can be a big pain.
Yeah.
You were on a train today. How was that?
It was colourful in its content, let's say, insofar as a young woman was having quite a, I'm going to say explicit conversation with a young man on speakerphone, in which she berated a further man for having broken up with her. And then followed her on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was trying really hard not to obviously either stare or laugh because the whole thing just made me feel about 100 years old.
Yeah, it sounds like a very 2022 conversation.
I mean, so much. It's like, I was really glad she was explaining it to the guy, that the fact that he'd chosen to follow her when her settings weren't private meant not just that he was watching her, I guess, but that he wanted her to know that he was.
Yeah.
While simultaneously telling his sister that he didn't want to ever hear from her. I was like, this is so now, isn't it? Isn't this contemporary? Yeah. Aren't young people marvellous?
They're watching watches.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's crazy. And also, you know, cut to the chase. None of this 12 books before you get to the bit. Otherwise, you wouldn't have heard that stuff.
That is true.
You'd have been on a boat in the Aegean Sea for a... I don't think the analogy works, really. I'm going to just give up on it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So yeah, no, I still love travel, mostly, but there's definitely times, I mean, I missed it a lot for as long as we all had to, so I was really glad to get back out on the road. I missed performing, but I did also miss, you know, different skylines. I didn't miss all the admin.
Yeah.
It felt like you were being sort of punished for trying to get back to normality. Even though, of course, that's not the case.
No, but...
It's like, okay, I have to fill in a form. I remember coming back from a gig in the Netherlands last year and just had an absolutely horrific migraine. Then I was still really fragile. And I got to the airport and they sort of texted you in the middle of the night to say, you have to go, you can't online check in. You have to check in reality. So by far the most dangerous part of the entire journey.
Yeah.
Was being in this massively crowded departures hall when you could have just done it online so that they could ask you if you had any symptoms of COVID.
Itself. Right.
Well, I definitely didn't before I came in.
Yeah. Have now!
And then you got sent to a gate that wasn't your gate where you got interrogated by another man who was really nice. Everyone was really nice, I should say, in this process. Even I was trying pretty hard and I was in quite a lot of pain. We'd all got masks on, and so it must have been quite hard to read people's expressions, but you know I've got eyes like dinner plates and no poker face at all.
Yeah.
And so he asked me questions and then he looked at me really hard and said, are you all right? And I said, not really. I've got a really bad migraine and this is like a terrible quiz show. I felt like if I answer a question wrong, I'm not allowed to go home.
Yeah.
And he said, I promise you it will be all right. Oh. And he was so sweet and so frankly Dutch in the moment.
Yeah.
My family's Belgian, so I feel very connected with the Dutch, obviously.
Yeah.
I just started to cry. It was so lovely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was all a bit difficult. But I have a lot more travel to come later this year. So I guess I'm hoping it gets... a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think as things get back to whatever normal is now, the advantage, I think, maybe, is that everything is a bit more individually and in the wider scheme of things, everything's a bit more directional. People tend to have a plan, you know, and in every context, then people are dealing with people are going to places, people are going to do things. They think, I'll go there and I'll do this.
Yeah.
Which seems simple, but I feel like... up until 2018, it was more kind of, like that.
Yeah, in a way, the thing that I regret losing the most, although we all lost plenty, and a lot of people lost more than I did, but I missed that sense of ease, you know?
Yep.
Where you could give no thought at all to the sort of, what I would consider to be the boring bit of my life, the admin, essentially.
Yeah.
But you could just... you know, live it.
Yeah.
And that was a sort of minor inconvenience. And then it's like, oh no, now you have to give it your undivided attention.
Yeah, it's become not just something you have to do, but the most important bit.
Yeah.
I just got distracted by this avenue of those deep pink horse chestnuts you were talking about.
That's aren't they lovely. Great?
And it has, I'm really badly putting a kibosh on this, but it has entirely stopped raining.
Well.
But we earned something by...
Thunderbolt.
Yeah, that's right.
My ears are not holding up this microphone very successfully.
Ah,
I'm taking the moment to reset. It's because my head is miniature.
And if I'll take the moment to say brain. This episode sounds weird, it's because the microphones don't really like the rain. So this is all Tomkinson called it, really, but it is wonderful.
With his so-called injury.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's apparently he's not well.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you can hear my inverted commas there.
I most certainly can.
Sorry, Paul. Do get well soon. Do get well. I was going to say, damn it, I've forgotten. But coming back to running in the pouring rain, it's just something wonderful about the way it points up the ridiculousness, isn't it? It's like, I love it when you go to the park on your own in the pouring rain.
Me too.
And it's the odd other runner and dog walker.
Yeah.
And everyone
it's
else.
It's like, hi.
Yes, this
yeah,
is
me too. Yeah. Yeah.
The look I exchanged with the guy on Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh once, as we both went past each other in opposite directions in the deluge. You know, the look in his eye could be translated into words as idiots.
Yeah.
But in a nice way.
Yeah. I always like the moment with dog walkers when they're like, I have to do this because my dog doesn't understand about weather, but you chose this. Are you sure?
I've never thought that before. The runners have the edge on sheer ridiculousness.
Yeah, yeah. We're fully the self-harmingest. Yeah. In terms of going out in chronic weather. Yeah. Dog walkers are honestly just trying to look after an animal that needs to be outside. I guess we are the animal that needs to be outside, hey?
Yeah. Nice. I like that. If I had the technology, I'd put that in a little sound clip and advertise this episode with that.
I just don't know how to do that.
I don't know how to do
that. I've got nothing.
That's the kind of thing
I can't help you.
Doing. So, and how you obviously we're running now, and obviously you're also committed to regular running, as I can tell by you coming out to run with me in the pouring
rain,
even though you just got off a train. How's your running game in the wider scheme of things?
It's going okay, actually. I've been really enjoying it this year. I've had a couple of years of being very slow and it being very difficult. And then the last 3 months or so, my semi-constant headaches seem to have eased off. And it's just been, my strength just seems to have returned. And I was running erratically, but at all, and very slowly, through the whole period of lockdowns and everything.
Yeah.
And literally making no progress.
Yeah, because you had COVID really early on, didn't you?
I did. I was an early adopter. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had long COVID for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So you were
the combination of staying with exercise wherever possible.
Yeah.
But also watching it not make you feel any better for a ridiculously long time.
Yeah, and just being incredibly painful. You know, there are more times... Well, you know this because I saw you in this time.
Yeah.
There were times when I would just have to stop in the park after like a mile. And downhill felt like uphill. You know, uphill was just a write-off. I had to walk those for the best part of a year.
Yeah.
And it was so painful. And I missed so much being able to run easily. I would just stop and cry.
Yeah.
You know, just stand in the park in tears and ring somebody, you know, to try and feel better so I could get home again.
Get out of the hole.
And then the guys at my gym have been incredible because I kickbox as well.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's been very difficult because my balance was screwed.
Quite funny to imagine you going, but that was fine.
Yeah, no, that was completely fine.
Getting to the gym and go, whoosh, whoosh. It's weird that this is still fine, but no, that
I have plenty of witnesses to go, no, she tips up quite often. Yeah, she just couldn't follow instructions.
Yeah, so it wasn't just, sort of strength and breathing, it was also...
My breathing was okay, but I had no muscle strength, and my balance went. And I'd be going to the gym, and I'd have to climb upstairs to get there. And, you know, 2 times a week for like a year and a half, you know, apart from the bits where they were locked up, I'd be like, God, I'm broken on the stairs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I can't even get up the stairs without feeling like crying. How am I going to get through an hour-long class? And I remember my dad saying to me, don't you think it would be better to rest and sort of allow yourself to get well? And saying to him rather hotly and undeservedly, in his case, that... I wouldn't accept that I wasn't going to get better.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, when I did, I wasn't also going to have lost all my muscles.
Yeah.
It's like, it's bad enough that I feel like this, but I am not starting again.
Yeah, you just wouldn't have it.
I am just not. And so I ran and kickboxed really badly, embarrassingly so, for a year and a half.
But it's funny, isn't it? Because also the way you express it, it doesn't really sound like a positive at all. But obviously it's the right thing and it helped. you know, it was helping you even psychologically. Well, probably.
Yeah, I just couldn't stay in. I really am an outdoor creature.
Yeah.
I would have just been so miserable. And so even when it was terrible and I was crying in the park, it's like, had I stayed at home for that period of time, not running, the misery would have been greater.
Yes. So now you get the reward. And I do think, I don't know,
yeah,
I don't want to put words in your mouth, again. But whether it's long COVID or injury or whatever, I find that people who are knocked out with running, it's almost, it's one of those things which it kind of, it doesn't seem to come back to people until they've given up looking straight at it anymore. You know what I mean? You've got to have the patience to kind of live with it,
yeah,
for the long haul. And then and only then do you look around and think, oh, wow, I think it's actually changing at last, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was the sheer unpredictability of this was what made it really hard, is that you would have this sort of tiny micro progression.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, but now I have a huge setback and I'm really sick, yeah, and it lasts a few weeks and then I try and come back and it's like all of that hard work didn't exist.
Yeah.
And that happened to me 4 or 5 times. And then the last time I was starting to feel much better off the back of a bad headache. And, you know, that had gone on for weeks rather than for hours or mm-hmm. days. A friend of mine said, you know, what if this is it? You know, what if this is the last one and this is all it now? And I was like, I know you're trying to encourage me, but I cannot think of it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't be heartbroken again. Yeah. I just can't. It's like, please stop talking. I can't go through that trauma again. It was so miserable. I know I sound really self-pitying and I don't mean to, but it was just so miserable, yeah, having to kind of feel like, oh, all that effort was wasted. Okay. And then, you know, to be at a point where it feels like I do the thing and then there is an element of improving from the last time I did the thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to just 2 solid days of constant muscle pain and then you do it again.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like just every single time
just
was
the
new.
Sense that the graph is slightly more logical.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my absolute and huge sympathy to anyone going through long COVID or any other mysterious long-term illness, because it was really, really rubbish.
Yeah.
And if I never feel that way again, that will be just fine.
Yeah, and like you say, running is a you know, of course we know it's a all right
heckly bird.
Yeah. I'm giving it I don't know. I think it's a blackbird.
Yeah. Heckling you.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be something exciting, but
they're so all lovely, right, aren't they? They're beautiful.
It's great,
isn't
it? Such
a beautiful song.
It is. It's that classic thing. I think when the rain was really come down, I felt like a fool for saying it. But that it's, you know, you'd have to ask yourself how much more early May it could be. And the answer is none more.
Yeah, it's,
you know, the
true.
The birds singing in the late afternoon, this heavy cloud, and these trees are just, they're turgid with the leaves. The leaves, yeah, are like, ugh.
I have to be honest, my hay fever is a lot cheerier today than it was yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, because all like, those... I should tell you this. I was in Cardiff at the weekend,
choking.
And me and the other comedians, Goliath Shaman and Chris Forbes, and we all went to parkrun. And she was joking online afterwards, like, "Oh yeah, that's what this, you know. It's that's what comedians have always done, isn't it? You know, do the weekend gigs and turn up at 9 o'clock for a 5K."
Yeah, that does sound like the days of comedy I remember.
Yeah, that's very much. But so we all did that, and it was so beautiful. It was ridiculous. It was by the Butte Park, by the Taff. And it was crazy, you know, the sky was cloudless and jewel blue, and the trees were like this, but with that sunlight in them. And then the twinkling river, it looked like, we said it looked a little bit like the Appalachians. I thought we were going to see Burt Reynolds come
nice,
down.
Nice, yeah.
Which is a nice, you know.
So not just the Appalachians, but the Appalachians of the past.
Yeah, and a sense of, you know, an entirely positive reference there. And but we were also walking through these trees, and there were these twinkling sort of motes, fairy-like dots of light as the trees shed their kind of fluffy white flowers. And
yeah.
It was like a kind
achoo.
Of beautiful, yeah, and so I said, we won't be able to breathe for the rest of the day.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's a good point. And my left eye just was like twitching like Herbert Lom in the Pink Panther films for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
But it was worth it.
I know. I walked through the park, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, and the tree pollen was just coming up, and it was a really windy day. And there's just a moment as I was coming around a corner where there's a little kind of wind tunnel there. It's just this sort of visible curtain of pollen. I was like, oh, there's no happy ending for me in this day.
It's got me!
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think many people will have gone to the zoo today.
I wouldn't have thought so. I really love being, my running route is, you know, alongside the zoo, and I love being able to see the camels and the tigers, but yeah. I would be surprised if they were doing anything other than sulking indoors today.
Yeah. Although it's very...
When the ducks have given up. I mean, it's like, yeah. It's almost a sarcastic quantity of rain.
I can see that coot looking us in the eyes and say, you idiots.
Yeah.
This is obviously a nightmare and I'm a coot.
Yes. Literally trained for this.
It's smacking his forehead in a rage.
Yeah.
If only I had a hand as white and shiny as this. That's what you'd hear.
Yeah.
But it is would have been perfect conditions for the last scene of Withland Lie.
I'm sure you're right.
Oh, you don't know of which
I mean, I've ever seen it, but I'm afraid... I know I'm supposed to love it.
Pouring rain, big umbrella. I have of late, but wherefore? I know not. Lost all my mirth. Forgone all. He does Hamlet's other soliloquy.
It goes Hamleting.
To the walls.
Right.
It's good.
I just don't remember.
Not a woman, neither.
I was drunk.
Well, that seems appropriate.
I mean, it's not impossible, is it?
You should never mix your drinks with, though. I am... now... never mind Stand Up For The Classics. I understand that your new book's doing rather well.
Oh, yeah. No, Pandora's Jar has had a very good run in America.
Yeah. That's my last new book for America, technically.
Yeah. It came out here earlier, but it's only just come out in the States. It came out at the end of March. And it's been on the New York Times bestseller list for 5 weeks, which is mad.
That's huge.
So, yeah, my next book comes out here in September.
That is a very impressive list. To quote another film, that's Simon Pegg in Mission Impossible 3. Sorry, can't help myself.
No, very well done. so, yeah, Stoneblind, my new book, will come out here in September. But Pandora has only just come out there. So, yeah, my books. Oh, look at that.
Oh, heron on
heron
the moon.
Flying.
Can
look
I get it
that.
In the air? Oh. I saw over Cardiff, I saw one being mobbed by seagulls. Now we can see this one over London not being mobbed. Yeah, that's good. Got it over the cricket sight screens. Good one. Looks like it's got a bad leg.
Maybe it's just flying cash.
Yeah, just cool. Just see, I like to dangle that one.
Yeah.
That's my way.
Predictably, no sign of the tiger, which is indoors.
Yeah.
No fool sense, he.
Has the Snowdon Aviary completely gone now?
I think it's being filled, isn't it? The birds are going out of it and the monkeys are going in.
Yeah, it's being repurposed, but I'm not sure it's visible as it once was.
Yeah, I think that might be right, but I haven't run around that way the last few weeks, so I don't know.
But yeah, well done for this. You're going to go to New York and soak up the adulation?
No, I would really like to, but no one's asked me to, so no, I haven't. I'm hoping I'll get to go with Stoneblind when that comes out there next year.
So when does that come out there? It comes out here in September?
Here in September, there in February.
Excellent. And I suppose if it's coming out here in September at least, I'm assuming, perhaps foolishly, that from here at the moment you don't have to do anything about it. It's good to go.
Yeah, it is. It's all done. I mean, I'm writing the radio series, and to do that I'm taking a break from writing the book after this one. That it's like that. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I do really like the ancient world, so it's pretty lucky.
So you're happy to spend a lot of time there.
So I'm just trying not to get really behind because I had to write the second half of Pandora in the most tremendous rush, so it would be good never to do that again.
Lesson learned, or rather,
well,
lesson
let's not go that
offered
far.
Hopefully acted upon in future.
Yeah.
But you're living the dream. I mean, I don't know how it feels to you, but we've talked quite often, me and Paul, about, you know, the way you grow up. You kind of want to be a writer and a runner.
Yeah.
You know, a runner and a writer. You know, it'd be nice. It's nice to be able to put those things together.
It's really nice. Yeah, I was... The badness of the running during the writing of the last book made it feel like I wasn't a runner, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel like a not impossible dream to get back to being able to run a half marathon or something. Yeah.
You haven't got any in the sights?
I haven't, because I'm touring in the autumn a lot because of Stoneblind coming out here.
Yeah, so you're touring all around the UK, international?
Yes, everywhere. So I think it would just be really... I mean, generally kind of hit and runs, you know, in and out of somewhere and back, not long blocks of time.
Yeah.
But it'll just be it would just be difficult to do long training runs with the sort of... I'm such a creature of habit, you know. I like to do the same days every week. Everything, and I can't do that essentially until the spring.
No.
So
you just keep getting stronger, keep doing the...
That's the plan.
Keep doing it. Well, this park run on Saturday with the comedians, there was a guy who knows Running Commentary Online, came with his friends to the show and then came to the park run.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was great. And I think it's the way forward.
So it's raining harder again, Rob.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is. I set it up for the bike ride. I didn't want to, you know, that would have been. That would have been crazy.
Like,
are we
going to
go and do
fault.
Some super fast laps around the old athletics track?
I mean, we can do some slow laps around the old athletics track. That's all I've got in me, but I'm very happy to if you'd like to.
No, I think we should just
we
look at it.
We can do some intervals if you want.
Yeah, it's got a certain kind of magic.
You have to do, someone did tell me this, I asked on social media, because it's a short track, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 387 metres instead of 400. I think it's lane 5 or lane 6 you have to run in to get 400 meter lap. Someone did tell me.
I saw a video go around which reminded me of the old you know, the bit in, I think it's the first slow motion scene in Chariots of Fire, where Eric Liddell falls and then still wins or comes second.
Yeah.
And some young runner did that in a video that went around online the last couple of days. It's they were sorting themselves out at the start. They're around the other side of the track on this sort of camera phone video. And they were like, oh, race has gone, set off. It's only 200 metres. Just come around the bend, just like a truck coming past everyone and then winning. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, that is
one
ridiculous.
Of our most important bits of advice we've been trying to share recently on the podcast is when you're doing a race, you've got to start.
Yes,
very
that's
important
good advice.
Stuff. But in this case, it turns out that's not always the case. Even if you don't start, if you then start, you can still win. You've got to have a certain amount of speed, though.
Yeah, I'm never a fast runner, as you know. I'm a sort of steady, or I was pre-COVID, a sort of steady cart horse runner.
cart horse is harsh. but yeah, trip trot.
Yeah, I can kind of plod forever, but I don't have much speed. That's one of the reasons I started kickboxing, where obviously sprinting is crucial. I'm still terrible at it, but
what's
I think
the other reason? Did this kickboxing anything to do with the rage? Is there anything to do with rage?
Just really like being able to punch people. I don't know what that says about me. I don't know. I have quite a solitary existence, I suppose. Running and writing are two really solitary pursuits.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the touring side of things, because they're solo shows, so I don't even get to be backstage with anybody else.
Yeah, I find that with touring. I mean, I loved it. I'd love to tour more, but it is, when I have been on tour, it is me and you on the bridge. It is, it's not as much fun as being in the old dressing room with the other people, because
it's not as much fun. You lose the camaraderie.
Yeah.
So I thought, way back when, it would be really nice to just do a thing where I get to hang out with some other people.
Yeah.
And so I had like a chunk of time of that before, obviously, they shut the gyms and locked everything down. And by that point, I'd already got, you know, friends there.
Yeah.
And so we were doing classes online. It was a really good way. So, yeah, I wanted a thing where I felt like...
I feel like this is a leading question, but I'm genuinely not quite remembering. Did you, when you were doing online kickboxing, did you break anything around the house?
I didn't. No, my furniture is already set against the wall because I really like space and it's not a big flat.
Yeah.
So I didn't, in fact.
Yeah.
But I did feel a little bit bad for the people who were walking past my open-windowed flat as, you know, a sensei was bellowing, reverse punch to the body, back fist to the head, similar.
Or your foot flying
spinning
out the
back
window.
Spinning back fist, etc.
Oh, okay.
Well, I imagine everyone's finding this very encouraging to go past. I figure people heard worse, didn't
they? I thought
they?
For a minute, if someone going past the window and, catching a flying, you know, like a, is it David Bowie's foot in the Dancing in the Street, or is it Mick Jagger? One of them singing.
Whichever one's bendiest.
The other one's foot.
Yeah.
Cuts that. Well, they're both pretty bendy, weren't they? Yeah. Probably Mick Jagger if it's a race to the bend.
Yeah.
which 20th century pop legend can fold in half?
It's bendiest.
we're at the bottom of Primrose Hill now. It's lovely, but I don't think we have to.
I mean,
to go
we
up.
Can't talk while going up Primrose Hill because I will be too busy crying and lying on the ground.
Yeah, and it's raining
still
hard
really
again.
Struggling
I'm
with hills.
I'm going to let you go to your house. It seems like the best thing to do. Let's go under this
Where's
tree for a moment. It's just over there.
Okay.
So thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners that we haven't covered? I mean, I think it's been nicely, themed really on the all different kinds of journeys.
Yeah, journeys home.
Journeys
That's
home.
What we've done. Yeah, a journey back to some sort of health.
Yeah, the journey back to whatever the hell it is.
Journey back to London today for me. Journey back to a degree of normality, although I realise we're a long way off it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, have fun. Good luck with the stuff you told us about. Think
Thank
that
you.
That Odyssey in particular is going to come in 27 minutes and 8 seconds.
I really hope so.
No, wait. 18 seconds.
Yeah. Last time I came in at 27:44 and a half. I mean, it was right on the wire. I collapsed my knees.
Yeah, good.
On completing it. And then...
Yeah, 1 second. Oh, sorry, it's wet and it's in my pocket. 5:30, bang on.
Thank you very much.
There you go. You felt well, you're not falling to your knees now, though.
No, no. But that was quite, it was physically quite stressful, even relative to a half marathon. I remember saying at the time, this is the most physically stressful, most physically demanding thing I've ever done, just trying to hold this whole thing together in my head.
Yeah.
Really,
and then the letting it go is bad, isn't it? The come down must be. You literally came down.
I had to go back on tour the next day. I can't remember where I was, Ilkley or somewhere, for a couple of nights. And then I was fine. And then I got home and I threw up every 2 hours for a day. It's like, oh, I'm not fine. Sorry, everyone. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very much like after home.
And it's like we're saying, if we're talking about various homecomings, it's amazing how eventually coming home to your real home can make you let quite a lot out.
Yeah.
Sometimes literally.
It was a very purgative experience. Yeah, I would say. So, yeah, my goal this time is to get it right, come in on time, and not vom everywhere. Yeah. Afterwards.
Get it right. Do it to time. Stay on your feet. Don't puke.
Yeah, no vomiting.
Sold.
Yeah.
I wrote that down. Take that with you. We'll laminate this. You can take it on stage.
Running with Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.